Thank you so much for joining Losing My Religion podcast. My name is Joshua Preston. Today we have a new episode for you. We hope that it encourages you and through the discussions to what our part, our journey, and maybe even what the Holy Spirit is revealing in your heart with it. We hope that it encourages you and helps you on your way, helps us to enjoy more of His love for us, enjoy the relationship that we have with Him, so that we can actually be better human beings, be the human beings that He has created us to be, to love one another just as He loves us. So we hope that you enjoyed this episode. And if you love our podcast, please subscribe and share. And you can actually become a podcast contributor if you like to. If you feel led to, if you don't, and we're absolutely fine with that. So we hope you enjoyed this episode today, and we look forward to having more discussions with you in the future. And so enjoy.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast at Losing My Religion. If you'd like to show your continued support, subscribe and share. And if you like, you can give monthly of no more than $10 at the link in the description below. It helps us to keep doing what we love to do, which is this. Thank you.
Welcome to Losing My Religion podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Joshua, and I'm flying solo on this episode 146. And we continue to talk of church drama. And I got one particular one I want to deal with today, and it's something I've been very passionate about. Heard this past year, and so I kind of flew solo on this one. And we kind of we're taking our little time with these, kind of going through them, because they're very impactful, and they're something that we need to absorb and chew on, not just kind of just get through. It's something that we need to think about, react, and allow the healing to take place. So I just want to thank you for tuning in. If you if you have any questions, or like to have questions, send a question or a statement, you can send it to hello@losingmyreligion.love, and we'll take it in. You may even hear some of your stuff be read on upcoming episodes. We love to do those as well. So last few times, just to give you hints, we've been doing this series on church drama, and talking about the things that have happened, and we don't talk about that very much. We don't really talk about stuff that happens within those four walls, and stuff that bleeds outside of those four walls as well, and the hurt and stuff that comes along with it. And so I want to, you know, we've been trying to really take it, and a friend Arnia has shared one of these posts on social media, and it's kind of inspired us for these three episodes now. Who knows, might go 6, 7, who knows, who cares, because it's all about the healing. So we just kind of want to go through them. And, you know, we did the first couple, the first episode we kind of went through a bunch of them. Last episode we kind of went through a couple, went through two. This one I'm going through one. Who knows what next episode we'll be with. We'll have all three of us on here next week on the next episode. So I just want to start with this one. I think this one's really good. And the post was about what church drama looks like. And this one particularly I want to talk about is racism. And I want to talk about this one. Exploiting your skin color in church promos to show the diverse and relevant all for image. And, you know, what's interesting is that I've seen this happen. I've seen it. And not just, I've seen it. I witnessed it. I've seen it. And you might go, okay, so, you know, because the place I heavily went to, you know, it actually was pretty well diverse, but then we're going to talk about this. You know, but I've been to other places that weren't, and it's interesting to watch them use this stuff, and I've seen this, use their friends or people that they know, or aka use stock images to exploit, it's trying to say the diverse and stuff in the marketing. But yet, when you go there and you start meeting with people, it's the totally opposite. Now, I even been at one place where they promote diversity and having diverse and everything. So, but in their small groups, it was anything but diverse. Very true, horn. got to keep the whistle wet. It was totally opposite, and I can only imagine what it could feel like. And once you put yourself in their shoes, you're black or Hispanic. Skin's not white. And you're being used to promote diversity. And it's just used as an image of the place, but never that's actually in action. You feel like you're being used. They really don't care about you. And that's huge. We're going to the next one. Primarily white male leadership that rises to excuse or belittle people of color experience. Racism is important to address because they're not racist. And I've seen that with my own eyes. I've witnessed that. Think about that. We go, well, and it's so funny. I guess in the way that we look at what we was doing with Yaller, and I personally, if you would ask me, we got the crap all wrong. But are we only to talk about the Bible or what? And I think that's interesting, you know, not to deal with people's problems and racism that does exist in our community, to just gloss over it and act like it's not happening and try to use that to say we're not racist is not, it's not addressing the issues that are really happening in your community. You look at them and you go, oh, it's not important. And what you're saying to that person is saying your pain, your experience as a black person is not important to me. That's what you're saying. And it was interesting, and I'll address this part here too. Primary white leadership. And I've seen this with my own eyes. I've seen this, and a lot of that we talked about on this church, we've seen the experience ourselves. And the church that I went to, that said that there was diverse, you saw in the crowd, but if you look at the leadership, it was anything but diverse. It's interesting, it's easy to show, like I said, that's what I'm talking about on the small groups. You see who the leaders are behind the scenes than what you see on Sundays. You see the leadership teams, and it's anything but diverse. And I think that's a bad thing, because be real, how, when you don't have diverse leadership, it's kind of hard to really understand what's going on in your community when your community is diverse. I don't care where you live at, it's diverse. And to dismiss the experience of what has happened and what is happening, it shows that you don't care. And frankly, that does not look like Jesus one bit. Does not look at Jesus one iota bit. And I want you to think about that, because Jesus actually cares about your experience. He doesn't just gloss over it and just move on to the next thing. He actually cares. He actually cares about it. He cares that you're being looked at and downgraded as a human being because of the color of your skin. You're being treated not as a human being because of your skin color. He cares about that. And when we take that and we dismiss it, we're not looking like Jesus. We ain't looking like God. We ain't looking like our dad. What we're looking like is something that's not even human. We look no different like the Pharisees and scribes that y'all trying to preach against in the Gospels. Stop and think about that. Because he cares. And he wants you to talk about it. Yeah, he sees it. He knows it all. But he wants you to engage him with it. He will ask you questions. Look at the road of Emmaus. Jesus engaged those people. Yeah, did he know everything? Yeah, he knew everything. But he still engaged them to talk about it. It's called relationship. And when we dismiss it, you're saying, you're not important to me. You're not human. All right, next part. Denial or addressing systematic racism and the church's responsibility or only addressing it when culturally pressured without action and prolonged education. I think that's important. I think we do that very much. Instead of being proactive in our communities, a lot of times we're very reactive in our community, especially when it comes to racism. We don't talk about this stuff very much, only when stuff blows up right in front of us and we're kind of like caught between a hard place and a rock and a hard place. We'll then talk about it instead of dealing with the stuff, being proactive and dealing with the stuff. Just be real. Systematic racism is alive and breathing. It's there. It's real. Look for yourself. You actually take off your glasses and actually get out of your own little box and your own little whiteness, I would say. Get out there and check it out for yourself. Get outside. Look at it. It exists. You see it. Why do you think there's a ghetto? Why do you think there's a hood? Why do you think there's a lot of that stuff? It's called systematic racism. You have to stop and look at it. Stop and play it back. It's layers deep, but my gosh, it is there. And we see it every day. The people who actually are living it experience it every day. And as a church, if we sit here and do nothing about it and don't try to bring education, don't try to find ways to eradicate it from our communities, we are not looking like Jesus. We are not looking like our Father, because we are allowing people to be mistreated right before our own eyes in our community, and we sit back and we do nothing. Are we not his body? Are we not his body? Oh, if we are, then we move and we do stuff to create wholeness within our community, instead of allowing people just to be hurt left and right with it. Get up, church. Respond to racism and hate with social justice movements like Black Lives Matter are a distraction from the gospel and create more division. And the answer, no, it doesn't. It does not create more division. It's not creating any more division. What creates division is when you look at a problem and you go, I'm just going to preach the gospel. Define what the gospel is now. Is it not good news? And when we ask you this, what did Jesus do? What did he do? Did he go, oh, saw a woman being mistreated by men in her community, and when he go, oh, I'm just going to preach the gospel? No, he took action. He took action and showed to them that their life matters. What about the tax collectors and the sinners and, you know, these people who are being mistreated in the community? Did he go, oh, I'm going to preach the gospel? No, he didn't say that. He moved and he did stuff. To sit there and go, oh, these social justice movements are just creating division. Do you know why they're happening? People who are being hurt are fed up. And if you want to sit there and say that Black Lives Matter is a group and all this, it is a statement to say to a group in our community, your life matters. Your life really does matter. And not something we just say, it's something we do. It's something, the actions that we take every day to show them that their lives matter. That just because they look differently than you and I, that they're no less important than you and I. And that they're no less human than you and I. And therefore their life matters just like you and mine does. Just think that creates division. Actually ignites bridges. Are you going to have resistance? Yes. Therein lies the persecution. Because anytime you go and you create wholeness within your community, there will always be resistance. That's called persecution. People say, you should not be united. You should not say those words. They'll create the words, like they will take Black Lives Matter and change it to a whole different thing. Just not to talk and deal with how black people are being treated in our community. They do nothing about it but want to argue with the words Black Lives Matter. There lies the problem, that they don't see that their lives matter. But the good news in the other end is that you do. And you create wholeness. And when you create wholeness, comes persecution. There'll be others who say you should not show that their lives matter. You will always have that. But to sit there on the sidelines and act as if nothing is happening and sit there trying to say, we're going to just cause more division, I'm just going to do this, shows to those lives who are being, to those people, I say lives, to the human beings who are being put down because of their skin color, you're saying to them, you're not one of us. You're not included with us. Your life does not matter to us. That's what you say. Guess what you just drew? You just drew division between you and them. Think about it. By not doing anything, creates division. Yep. And think about this for a moment. We're talking about racism here, and thank God we had a licensed counselor, Jula, who dealt with racism trauma, if I can talk. And it's much like church trauma, and that it's something that keeps happening over and over and over again. Your picture as you every day waking up getting hit in the hand with a hammer in the head. Every day. Once hurts. But to have that keep happening over and over again creates great pain. And if you want to know what that kind of looks like in a sense, think about people who get used to crap. And they're oblivious. They're just so used to it. So used to getting hit in the head. That they end up acting in a certain way. They're very defensive. They're very angry. They end up treating even others who look like them like crap. Why do we have trouble in our communities? Because racist trauma is continuing to happen. And it happens right in those four walls. And if you think those four walls somehow are just so holy and tight, yet they create some of the worst problems. And then within those four walls, we have 19 different traumas that come from those four walls. Yep. It's a real issue. And I want to say I'm sorry that, you know, if any we had done has done that, we want to say we're sorry. And that if you're hurting at home and you're listening to this and you have experienced this racism, trauma in between the four walls, we want to ask you to write us. Tell us how you feel. Tell us what's going on. Write us at hello@losingmyreligion.love. You can let us know if you want to share it, or us to share it or not to share it. That's completely fine. And I want to thank you. Tune in next week for part 4. We'll see how many slides we get to through that one. Until next time, we love you.